Hey fam, welcome back to Real Talk with Caleb. Hope you're doing great. Hope you're blessed wherever you are on this day, this evening, this night, this morning, wherever it is. We hope you're blessed here at Real Talk with Caleb. Listen, got my good friend, my sister on, Brittany, here to talk to us today about trauma. What happens when we don't deal with that trauma? The scars that it leaves, the cycle that it creates. Look, are you going to break the cycle or are you going to continue the cycle? Lean in and listen as Brittany walks us through how to deal with trauma and the importance of dealing with it. We'll see y'all on the other side. Brittany, welcome to the show again. You're a repeat on here. So thankful that you're in my life and we get to share and communicate with each other and that we get to benefit from your wisdom. So I know the other day, as we just jump right into this, you made a post and I'm going to read that post. And then I'd hit you up on the post and said, hey, maybe we should talk again. And you're like, absolutely. So here we are. So you say people get so comfortable with their trauma, they live with it. And that's why they don't want to change. They play with those demons for so long, people start to believe it's part of their identity. If you don't deal with your internal demons, you will simply pass it on to your kids and continue the generational curses. Stop settling for, oh, that's just how I am. Because underneath that is some real work that you need to do in freedom healing, or there's freedom in healing. So with that, Brittany, let's get into it. What do you want to share? What do you want to talk about?
Well, I guess I can talk about kind of where that post came from. So I have a lot of, I guess you could call it like family trauma. And I realized early on in life, how important it was to kind of deal with stuff and move past those things. I am a mother of four. And so actually my oldest son does not live with me. He lives in Texas with his dad. And I realized how many mistakes I made with him because I had a lot of unresolved issues within myself. And then when I had my first daughter in 2016, I remember being terrified that I was going to fail and do things like the way that my mother did things. And, you know, not saying that my mom was, you know, this terrible person, because she's definitely not. But sure. Because she went through so much trauma and she never dealt with those things, it just kind of got passed on to me. And so I realized that I potentially could be doing the same thing with my girls. And I just, you know, my son, my youngest is now 11 months. And the last thing I want to do is continue, you know, those patterns, you know, with your kids. And I think that unfortunately, my generation, our parents were not equipped spiritually with how to break generational curses. I think church was just kind of like the thing to do, and so they went, but there was no real healing, there was no real deliverance. And that's why I think a lot of parents, like my generation parents, are still very stagnant, and they're still kind of living the same type of way. There's no change in them, and that's because they've become content with their trauma. And when you say trauma, it sounds like very extreme, but really anything can be trauma, right? Like you could have gotten into a bad car accident, you know, you could have been abused, you know, all those things could be considered trauma. And I think that, I'm sorry, Hannah, let me finish, please. I see my little kids. You have to let
me
finish.
Hey, that's all good. Hey, that's real life right there.
Okay, but I asked you to let me do this, right? So you can wait.
Savannah's right in the last
step. Okay. Okay, thank you. Again, trauma can be something small. It doesn't always have to be like the most extreme case, but regardless, like say you get into a car accident and then you just stop driving, right? And then you, a year goes by, 3 years go by, and then you look up and it's been 10 years since you got behind the wheel of a car. And it's because you've allowed that fear to control you, and you have to face fear head on. And I can speak to that moving to a bigger city. I think because of my job, my mental health has suffered. Like I have a lot of anxiety because, you know, we always are getting like the bad news. And so I found myself terrified of, you know, driving. And I really had to like pray about it. And I did pray about it. Yeah. And I asked, you know, I told God, like, I have anxiety. I am anxious. I am afraid. I'm so worried of, you know, the unknown. And anytime I get behind the wheel of a car, and then I just realized that in that, you know, if I call myself a Christian, I should be trusting God. And so if I trust him, I shouldn't be anxious, right? The anxiety might come, but I should be able to rebuke that anxiety and remind myself God is in control. And I trust God to get me to point A to point B. And now I'd be doing 83 on the turnpike. So now it's like when I'm driving, you know, it's great. So, but that's just an example of, you know, dealing with your, you know, some might call it demons, some might call it trauma, some might call it just your issues, but you have to deal with it because if you don't, you know, it will consume you. And once something consumes you, it impacts everybody around you, especially your children, because our kids, they see things that nobody else sees, right? Because they live with us and we're the most, I think we are the most our authentic selves around our children. So that's kind of where that whole like post kind of, you know, came from.
Yeah, I tell you what, I would like to expound on this, like pull the thread on it, so to speak. So you and I are both of the same faith belief, if you will, right? So we're both Christians and there are people that listen to the podcast all over the world. And so I think it's important to realize, so me and you, we would solve problems a lot of the same way when it comes to spiritual things, right? You know, we believe in praying to God and not to get into all of the discussion about a particular religion or belief system. But there's a lot of other belief systems out there. And I know you know that, but something you said, it doesn't matter what you believe or what you subscribe to or whatever you want to call it. We all go through things in life. Mm-hmm. And if we do not deal with those things we go through in life, they continue to give us opportunities to make decisions to how the rest of our life turns out and developing our character. What I heard you say and or what I heard, I read the post, but what I heard in there was so many people and both of our experiences, I won't say, it's a little brutal. I will say that it's a little brutal in what I'm about to say, and it's going to hurt somebody's feelings, but maybe that's just what you need to hear. We use it as a crutch because that's just the way I am. That's the way my daddy was. You know, I grew up in an abusive home, right? That's just, so if I became abusive, then I can blame it on the situation, right? So what would you tell people to be aware of, to look at, to start to realize and understand they have some trauma or they have some scars in their background? So when was it that you realized a little more in depth in what you explained, like, hey, this is, I realize I've got some trauma in my life I need to deal with. And what would be your advice to someone that's in that same spot at that, not at the breaking point, but starting to realize that, hey, maybe these are some of the things I could look at and see, you know what? Maybe I have some trauma that Brittany's talking about that I need to deal.
So I think one of the, I guess, key moments in my life was probably when I got married, because I saw what marriage looked like when I was growing up. I was very much against it. Like I would always say, I don't ever want to be married that way. I don't ever want to do that. And so when I finally got married, I had a hard time with how a traditional Christian marriage should operate. Like, I had a hard time with like the submission. I was very defensive. And then also just in my past relationships, dealing with like abuse in past relationships, I was like always ready to fight. Like always, we didn't even need to talk. We could just throw hands, you know. Not, my husband has never hit me. Let me just put that out there. He has never, ever hit me. But it's just,
I'm sure he'll appreciate you saying that.
It was me that was always like wanting to fight and kind of be like the aggressor and stuff. And, you know, he would tell me often, like, you need to deal with this. You need to handle this. And in my mind, I just, for a long time, I just kind of felt like, well, this is just how I am. So yeah. I'm a fighter. Like, you're not going to talk to me like this. You're not going to, and you know, honestly, that translated over into other areas of my life. It wasn't just my marriage. anytime I felt like somebody was talking to me too rough or looking at me too rough, I was very quick to respond and defend myself. I would get very defensive. And that had everything to do with my childhood and my upbringing, because as a child, I didn't have a voice. I was never allowed to speak up. So as an adult, you know, oh, you're going to hear what I have to say and you will not, you know, do certain things to me. And so I think when I started having a lot of conflict, like in my marriage, a lot of conflict at work, that's kind of when I realized, like, it was kind of like a light bulb, like, man, you're probably the problem, Brittany. Like, it's you. It's not everybody else, because every time you move and go somewhere different, you find that you're always in an argument. You're always falling out with people. Your relationships are not being maintained. It's you. And so I think realizing that I was the problem, and I think I just got tired of being in the same situations over and over and over. And I don't know that it was, I don't even want to say like, oh, I had my quote unquote aha moment. I think I just got tired of dealing with crap. And then in me being tired of dealing with it, I realized that it was my own crap, not other people's. So. Yeah.
I think too, something else, I really believe what you pointed out is being, it's a level of maturity, right? And introspection, a certain level of introspection that's required to be able to look at yourself, because that's hard, right? I mean, you know, that's it's not many times that as adults or just as humans in general that we want to admit that we are the problem, or at least we have something that we're contributing to the problem, right? Right. And so that says a lot about maturity and the formulation of character and true introspection. I think a lot of times people say they'll see something on Instagram, right? And it's like a bumper sticker. It's really good. Like, so you could put something out there like your post, really good. People could heart it, like it, you know, do the huggy emoji, whatever, mm-hmm. and not even really know what they just hugged or liked or loved or whatever, right? So a lot of times in our society, we see things that are just like bumper sticker moments. That's how it's perceived. And we move on with life. So when we see this thing about introspection, a lot of people are like, oh yeah, I have a lot of introspection. And I really challenge that, because not many people are able to look at life the way you are and say, what am I contributing to this problem? So something else you talked about that I want you to keep in mind, we'll come back to it, about a generational curse. I definitely want to come back to that. But when you talk about like identifying, when you started realizing like, hey, I am some of the problem, or I'm creating some of this chaos in my life, what was the next step? Like, how did you approach that next? And what would be your advice as somebody's like starting to realize that, hey, I'm causing some of this chaos. What were the next steps for you to kind of start dealing with that?
Well, I did go to therapy for a long time. So I think having, you know, a counselor, and not even, because I know obviously, like, there's a lot of people that are anti-therapy or whatever, but just having a sounding board, like a person of reason to talk to that's not going to agree with you, and kind of like a person that will listen, right? So me going to therapy, it wasn't the therapist that was telling me anything. It was a safe space for me to kind of just talk out loud and draw my own conclusions. And so I would say people, you 100% need to have a trust circle, like a circle of people, or just one or two, you know, persons, whatever, that you can, that A, they're not going to agree with everything that you say because they're your friends. And B, they really need to be your friends, because you might start revealing some stuff that is going to make them potentially look at you sideways. However, if it's true friends, you know, they'll stick by you and kind of walk with you through that. And so for me, my next steps were definitely, I went to therapy. And then I became very conscious of the people that I was surrounding myself with. I learned that if you are hanging out with people that are doing a lot of the things that you're doing that you need to get away from, they can't go with you. You cannot take those people with you when you're trying to grow and mature. So that's what I would recommend to anybody. Go get some therapy, or go find somebody to talk to that is going to walk with you through whatever the issue is.
That I found was like, you have to make a decision. You do get the introspection, you've got your circle of friends, and there's a leap or step of faith, right? Of like, you know what, I'm about to expose myself. I'm about to be very vulnerable. I'm broken. And this is me. And this is who I am. This is what I've been through. Here's what's affected me in my life. And you're right, Brittany. Sometimes when we expose our closets, if you will, some people aren't ready. And to your point, we kind of, it's going to hurt a little bit, but this is about you making a decision for your life and taking back control. Because a lot of people I have found, myself included, I'll start with myself and then the other people that I know that have been through things, we gave other people control that they didn't even realize they had control in our mind. When it comes to anger, malice, hatred, all those types of things where you might hate on a person doing you wrong for X situation, right? So I had to make a decision. A lot of people I know had to make the decision. First off, I'm broken. This is where I'm at. Those friends are, like you said, either going to stick with you or they're going to leave. And I'm not going to chase the ones that are leaving, right? Because this is about making me better and getting better in my space and taking control. What are your thoughts on taking control? Did you feel like that in your situation, or have you seen in other situations where once you started sitting down and thinking about it and having a little bit of introspection, like, my goodness, I've given control over to somebody that did not deserve it?
100%. And I think I did that way too much in my life. So, I mean, anywhere between like my mom and, you know, certain friendships, certain situations at work, I 100% have looked back and said, you know, I gave that person control that they did not have a right to. And even, yeah, you know, I actively, like if I have, like I, and I'll talk about my mom, right? Because that is probably my biggest issue is relationship with my mom. And so there have been moments where, you know, I've talked to her and like things didn't go the right way. And when I get off the phone, I out loud will say, nope, you don't get this control. I'm not going to let this happen. And I like have these full on conversations with myself. And I know it might sound crazy, but when you realize that you're handing control over to somebody, I mean, you have to take it back. And by whatever means necessary, you have to take that control back. And obviously it wasn't an overnight process, but I would find myself kind of mad about it for weeks. And like, yeah, anytime I thought about it, like on the inside, I felt angry. Like I could feel the anger. And, you know, and for me, taking it just back to my faith, you know, how can I pray if I'm mad? Like, yeah, that impacts everything around me. It impacts my relationship with God. And I've gotten to a point where, you know, and I tell people this all the time, like, if you're mad, tell God you're mad. Tell him, mm-hmm, like, I'm mad about this. I did not like this situation. I am upset, whatever. He already knows, but really he's just waiting on us to just come to him and be transparent, be vulnerable. And so I try to do that with myself. I try to give myself grace and just try my best to be honest with myself when it comes to the control. And the way that I know that I've given somebody control is, if 3 days have gone by and I'm still thinking about it, I've given you control. You've got it.
Yeah.
And I got to take it back.
Yeah. Going back to your faith, that's where we have to give ourselves over, right? And say it, you know what? I've got to let this go because this is not of God. This is not in line with my faith. And we profess to be of faith, whatever your faith is, and you're not in line with that, guess what? Your life is going to be in turmoil. Do you get that right anyway? So I love what you say there about, it's kind of like the power cord, right? When you're angry, when you're mad, and you're trying to pray, that power cord severed. It's not plugged in, right? So you can do all you want to do, but you're not getting any power from it. So thanks for bringing that up. And something else you mentioned earlier, I want to go back on, and I'll kind of set us up for this, but it's one of those things for me when I realize, and a lot of other people, when you're going through trauma and you're trying to be psychologically ready and emotionally steady, could you start to realize through your maturity and introspection that you're affecting more than just your life? Your past trauma and your past scars not dealt with appropriately are causing other people pain. A lot of people listen to this or have seen it before. Hurt people hurt people.
Yes.
Right. And that's, again, another one of those bumper stickers, but people typically, even the note, they're hurt and they're hurting other people, but they see that like, yeah, people shouldn't do that. They don't slow down to think about, hey, that probably applies to me. But you mentioned it about breaking a generational curse. So it has that. I want to take it down this avenue because the other avenue, people can draw their own parallels to people that aren't family. But you talk about breaking a generational curse. Could you explain that a little bit, kind of like where your mind is with that and what you're talking about, so the audience can kind of get an idea of what you mean when you say breaking the generational curse?
So I would say having a father figure in the house is not common for my, you know, for my family. So that could be a generational curse, the father never in the home, right? Or, you know, when my mom got mad, she would yell and she would scream. And so now I yell and I scream. Or my mom used to hit me, so now I'm hitting my kids. So it's a cycle, right? So I think we say generational curse. And I think a lot of people that share the same faith as us can kind of understand that. But for those that, you know, may think a little different, it's essentially a cycle, right? And it's a cycle that has to be broken, because, but you have to recognize first that it's an issue and that you're participating in the cycle. And so I think that when it comes to those things, you have to get to a point where you say to yourself, if I was a miserable kid, if I didn't like how my parents treated me, if I didn't like the emotional strain, stress, and trauma they caused for me, I will not do that to my kids. And whatever I need to do to break that cycle, if it's therapy, if it's I need to take a breather, whatever it is, I will do that. And so that's kind of, so I think you can equate the generational curse to a cycle of brokenness, essentially is what it is. And you are the only person that can break that cycle, because it starts and it ends with you. Like that's how I look at it. I look at my kids and I out loud will say the cycle stops with me. I will not pass this down. I will not pass the same trauma down to my kids. I will not pass down the same, you know, disciplinary actions that I receive. So I don't know if that answers your question, but that's kind of what I'm coming from with the generational curses.
Absolutely. You know, there's sometimes people say this and don't think about it. And I'm not saying if people say this that it's wrong or bad. But Amy and I, my spouse, we made a decision. I don't know if you heard it growing up or not, Brittany, but like, I hope your kids are 10 times worse than you. Oh, so you know how I feel, right? So we made a commitment to each other. Now, I know at some point in time, I've slipped up and said something of that nature. I know I'm a human, so I know I've done it. But we made a conscious decision to not say things like that to our kids and to our boys. We have four sons, for those that don't know. But we made a decision to not say things like that and not to say, you disappoint me. And Amy says, I'm disappointed in the course of action that you took. I know that sounds very militaristic for people in the military. Like, oh, my God, he's got them in an OJT program on the job training. Well, kind of. Yeah, you're right. Kind of we do. But, you know, it's one of those things where the generational curse, I see it the same way, Brittany, is, and even if you're not associated with any kind of faith-based, I think you termed it perfectly. It's a cycle of brokenness. And whether you have a faith base in your life or not, or a spiritual, you believe in something spiritual or not, there's still, you can identify anomalies in the pattern, right? So if you have a cycle of brokenness, a cycle of pain and hurt, then that needs to be broken. And it's I like to think that it's common sense, but until you realize it, it might not be so common. It's to understand that no matter where I'm passing on to my kids, or I'm passing on my coworkers, I'm passing on to my teammates, it's going to adversely affect, and you know, in a negative manner, of course, those people around us. So did you find a renewed purpose when you had that, you took that mantra on, or way of life on, of saying, hey, the cycle ends with me? Did that give you like a boost in your purpose that you serve in life?
Deployed. So
it's all good. You don't have to explain anything. This is life.
I got all three of them by myself.
Yeah.
So
Amy knows that. Amy can associate with that. She definitely knows how that feels. You're a superwoman for doing that.
My goodness, just nonstop, nonstop. But I definitely found a renewed purpose. Because I found purpose in that, I think. You know, when I, And I know for me, and everybody's is different, right? But I can just speak to being a mother, right? And so for me, doing the mom thing, kind of realizing, like, you know, I feel like this is what God has called me to do, right? I think when we focus on our purpose, we a lot of us look at these big grand things like, oh, I'm gonna be a millionaire, I'm gonna run this business, or I'm gonna do that. And for me, like, you know, it's so simple. Like, God has called me to be a mother and to protect my children and to break these curses, to break the cycle. And for me, it is, I am the curse breaker. And so for me, that in itself is enough to be renewed and to, you know, feel, and it fuels my purpose, right? And I would hope that anybody who feels like they know one of their many purposes, right? Because it's not just one sole purpose that we have, would get that as well. Like, when you realize that you have the power essentially to change things and to do things differently, it gives you kind of like a different outlook, a different lease on whatever the situation is.
That's one of the things I tell people. Until you're psychologically ready and emotionally steady, until you're able to deal with those scars and the trauma in your life, no matter what it is you're trying to do, whether it's an athlete, whether it's a leader within the military, serving in the military, a mom, dad, whatever you're doing in life, you will never reach your max potential until you address that. And so that's my one plug to people. And so I would like to ask you final thoughts of what you wanted to share tonight. Final thoughts that you would like to share with the team, the audience, about all the things we've discussed tonight.
I would say the best thing you can do for yourself is get some self-awareness. Look in the mirror and get some self-awareness about where you're at in life. Examine your relationships, examine, you know, yourself, because if you don't acknowledge the fact that there is an issue, like, nothing will change for you. And, you know, I'm sure there are people who probably feel like, oh, I'm fine, everything's fine. I guarantee you everything's not fine. And I guarantee you that you are probably just in denial, right?
Yeah.
And I, you know, and so that's like the most important thing, is having some alone time with yourself. And, you know, I actually had somebody ask me a question once, like, I was having a conversation with them about the way that they were kind of acting. And they said, well, I didn't know that I was doing that. And how do I know, you know, that I'm doing these things? And I said, you need to ask the people closest to you.
Yeah.
Ask them to be honest and transparent with you. And maybe, and I was honest with them. I said, maybe it's just something that I see and maybe I'm wrong, you know, but I said, you just have to be willing to receive that feedback and be open to whatever constructive criticism might come your way. So, And we're all a work in progress. There is room to grow for everybody. Like, none of us have arrived at any point in life. And I think you just have to go at life with a growth mindset.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Brittany, for sharing with us. You got an adorable family. I know this would be audio only for the audience, but seeing your family, part of your family anyway, in the background, has made my night, just seeing them run around. And you handle it so gracefully as a mom. So I want to give you props on that as well. But thank you too for being committed to being not only the best mom that you can be, but the best person and the best, which makes you one of our greatest airmen in the Air Force. But thank you so much for being on with us tonight. One last thing before I go mic off. What do you hope your legacy will be?
I was a person that did what God called them to do.
Amen.
That's it.
That's awesome. Hey, y'all heard it right here. Brittany herself, thank you so much. That's all the time we got tonight. We out. Hey fam, y'all know the deal. Until we talk again, keep it real. Stay hard to kill. We out at Real Talk with Caleb.